and their wealth will grow. Advice to dinner guests. When you go to a banquet, don't stuff yourself just because so much food is on the table. Some people's eyes want everything they see. Is anything more evil? Such eyes will have plenty of tears. Don't reach out and grab the food you want or push others aside. Be thoughtful of others. They have feelings too. Eat what is served, but you won't be welcome if you gobble it down like an animal. Show good manners. Stop eating before others do. If you keep on eating, they will be offended. And in a large group of people, don't be the first one to reach for the serving dish. Train yourself to be satisfied with a little food, and later, in bed, you will not be in pain when you try to breathe. You will sleep well and wake up early, feeling good. But overeating causes cramps as well as an upset stomach and sleepless nights. If your host makes you overeat, leave the table and vomit. You will feel much better. Listen to me, pay attention, and later on you will thank me. Don't try to eat too much, and you will stay healthy. It is right to honor those who are generous with food at their dinner parties, but the whole town is right to complain about a host who gives only a snack. Wine has destroyed many lives, and heavy drinking is no way to prove you are strong. The strength of iron is seen when it is heated, then dipped in water, and people show their arrogance when they argue after drinking wine. A little wine is refreshing, and to live without wine is hardly living at all. God created wine to make us happy. A little wine at the right time helps us celebrate. But drinking too much wine leads us to hate others and to take revenge. When fools are drunk, they become angry and fight. But their strength is gone, and so they get hurt. Don't scold your friends or be disgusted when they drink and celebrate at a party. And don't make them feel bad or upset them with a reminder that they owe you money. Chapter 32. If you are placed in charge of a dinner party, don't try to act important. Just make sure all the guests have what they need before you are seated. Then enjoy the dinner with everyone else, and they will honor you for a job well done. If you are an older guest, it is right for you to talk. But be sure what you say is true. And don't talk during the music or other entertainment. That is not the right time for clever remarks. Good wine and good music at a banquet are like rubies and emeralds in settings of gold. If you are a younger guest, don't talk unless someone asks you a question. Don't speak more than twice, and say as much as you can in as few words as possible. This will show your knowledge and also your self-control. Treat important people with proper respect, and don't chatter on and on if someone older is talking. Lightning goes ahead of thunder, and if you are humble, you will be liked and accepted before you even arrive. Then, later, at the proper time, just say goodbye and go home. Don't wait around to be the last to leave. At home, you can have fun doing whatever you want, but be careful not to sin by speaking with arrogance. And give thanks to your Creator, who let you enjoy all the good things He made. Obey the Lord. If you obey the Lord, expect Him to correct you. But do your best, and you will be accepted. Sincerely studying God's law will bring contentment. But if you are not sincere, that law will condemn you. If you obey the Lord, you will be well known for justice and fairness. But sinners refuse to be corrected, and they twist the law so they can do whatever they please. A wise person can take a hint, but even fear of great danger won't stop an arrogant fool. Give plenty of thought to what you will do, and afterwards don't worry about how well you did. Don't look for trouble, but learn from your mistakes. It's easy to be careless on a smooth road, so always pay attention to the path ahead. Think your actions through, and you will be able to obey the Lord's commands. If you believe in God's law, then do what it says. Chapter 33. Trust the Lord, and you will have success. If you obey Him, you will be protected and rescued from danger. You are wise to love God's law. But if you are not sincere, you will be tossed around like a boat in a storm. Be sensible and trust what God has said in His law. If you want others to listen, then think about what you know and how to say it best. Fools talk in circles like a wheel going around. To make fun of a friend is to act like a horse that snorts at anyone who tries to ride. Differences between people. Each day of the year depends on the sun for light. So why are some days more important than others? The Lord used His wisdom and made them different. Some have a special meaning, others are festivals, and some are sacred days, but most are ordinary. We humans were made from the soil, and the Lord used great wisdom to make each of us different, with different destinies. He blessed our ancestors and made them great, and He even let some be His holy priests. But He put a curse on the nations of Canaan. They were defeated and forced to leave the land. Humans become what the Creator chooses, just as clay is shaped by the hands of the potter. There are many opposites, good and evil, life and death, sinners and God's people. You can see that God Most High made everything the opposite of something else. The last of the teachers of wisdom. I am the last in the line of the teachers of wisdom, like a poor man picking grapes after the main harvest. But the Lord blessed me, and I gathered enough grapes to fill a wine pit. I wasn't working just for my own good, but to help all those who want to learn wisdom. So pay attention to what I say, all you officials and leaders. Freedom. Never give anyone else power to make decisions for you, not your husband or wife, and not your children, relatives, or friends. And don't give away property. If you later want it returned, you will have to beg for it. As long as you are alive, don't let others run your life. It is better that your children ask you for money than for you to ask them. Be the best at whatever you do, and do only what brings honor and not shame. Wait until you are about to die before giving your children their inheritance. How to treat slaves. If you feed your donkeys and beat them with a stick, they will carry their loads. Slaves are like that. Feed and discipline them, and they will do their work. If you don't want trouble, keep your slaves busy. Otherwise, they will have time to think about becoming free. use collars and leather straps to keep slaves at their work, and punish the rebellious ones by torturing them. Keep your slaves busy or they will have time to think of ways to cause trouble. Slaves are supposed to work, so give them something to do, and if they refuse to obey, put them in chains. But always be fair, not arrogant. If one slave is all you have, treat him like a family member, or even as you treat yourself. You worked a long time to buy that slave, and you need his help to survive. If you are mean, and that slave runs away, where will you look for him? Dreams. Chapter 34. Empty hopes deceive ignorant people, and dreams lead fools to be even more foolish. Believing in dreams is like holding on to shadows or chasing the wind. Just as a mirror reflects your face, your dreams reflect your concerns. Something clean cannot come from something dirty, and truth cannot come from a lie. Dreams are meaningless, like something said by a fortune teller, because they can mean anything you want them to. So unless a dream has been sent by God Most High, ignore it. Dreams have fooled many, first giving them hope, then disappointing them. You can obey God's law and learn from wise people without paying attention to deceitful dreams. Learning by traveling. A person who has traveled has learned many things and knows about them from experience. If you have few experiences, you won't learn much, but the more you travel, the smarter you will become. I saw many things when I traveled, and I learned more than I can tell you. My life was often in danger, but what I had learned always helped me escape. Fear the Lord. If you fear the Lord and put your trust in Him, He will keep you safe, and so you can be brave and face any danger. The Lord will bless you if you fear Him and ask for His help. And if you love the Lord, He will give you strength and keep you from falling. He will be your shield, protecting you and giving shade from the burning heat of the summer sun at noon. Your eyes will sparkle with the happiness He gives, and He will bless you with health and a long life. Sacrifices. A stolen animal isn't fit as a sacrifice for the Lord, and He won't accept gifts from those who reject His law. Sinners cannot please God Most High, and He will not forgive them, even if they offer sacrifice after sacrifice. Stealing food from the poor to offer as a sacrifice is like murdering children while their parents watch. The poor have so little food that taking it is the same as committing murder. Stealing what someone needs to earn a living is the same as murder, and refusing to pay the wages of someone who works for you is just as evil. So, if you steal possessions that others work for, you will cause trouble for yourself and for them. When they are asking God to put a curse on you, will He listen to your prayer? If you are unclean from touching a dead body, what's the point of washing if you touch the body again? Suppose you go without eating to show sorrow for your sins and then commit the same sins again. Will God forgive you? No, it was all for nothing.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Chapter 35. Obeying the law of the Lord is the same as bringing him many gifts, and obeying his commands is like offering a sacrifice to ask his blessing. Showing kindness to someone who has been kind to you is like offering a sacrifice to give thanks to the Lord. And giving to the poor is offering a sacrifice that gives the Lord praise. So please the Lord, and seek his forgiveness by staying away from evil. However, do not come to worship the Lord without bringing him a gift as his law commands. When one of God's people burns the fat of a sacrifice, God Most High is pleased with the smell of the smoke rising from the altar. Such sacrifices are acceptable to God and will not be forgotten. When you offer to the Lord the first part of the harvest or a sacrifice to give thanks, be generous, not stingy. Be happy and cheerful when you give him a gift or a tenth of your harvest. Be as generous with the Lord as he has been with you. Remember, the Lord is the one who repays seven times more than you give him. You cannot bribe the Lord by offering a sacrifice, and he won't accept as a gift what you get by cheating. The Lord is a judge who doesn't take sides, especially against the poor, but he answers the prayers of all who suffer injustice. God listens when an orphan begs for his help. He hears the complaints of a mistreated widow as she cries out with tears in her eyes and tells him about the one who has abused her. If you obey the Lord, he will accept you and answer when you pray. Be humble, and your prayers will go up beyond the clouds and be heard by God Most High. He will quickly punish those who have wronged his people and completely crush those who have shown no mercy. God will take revenge on evil, arrogant Gentiles, breaking their power and destroying them. And someday, all humans will be repaid as their thoughts and deeds deserve. Then God will judge in favor of his people, and they will celebrate because he showed mercy. We welcome God's mercy when we are in trouble, just as we welcome rain in hot, dry weather. A Prayer. Chapter 36. Our God, you rule all things. Have mercy on us and show all nations that they should fear you. Let them see your power as you attack them. They have seen that you are holy in the way you treat us. Now show us that you are great as you deal with them. Teach them, our Lord, as you taught us, that you alone are God. Perform new miracles so that everyone will know how powerful you are. Get really angry and destroy our enemies. You have set a time to do this. Please let it come quickly. Then everyone will be talking about your mighty power. And if any survive of those who had harmed your people, destroy those enemies with your fiery anger. Crush the heads of their rulers who say, "All that matters is what we want to do." Gather together the tribes of Israel, and once again give them control of their land. Have pity on us, our Lord. We are known as your nation, your firstborn child. Show mercy to Jerusalem, your holy city, your home. Then everyone in Zion will celebrate as they tell of your mighty deeds. Prove that you chose us as your people. You told your prophets to make promises to us. Now keep these promises, so your prophets will not have lied. Please reward us for waiting patiently. Our Lord, we are your servants. If you are pleased with us, answer our prayer. And then the whole world will know that you are the eternal Lord God. Recognizing lies. There are many different foods, but you like some better than others. And just as your taste tells you what you are eating, a smart mind will know when it hears a lie. People with twisted minds cause a lot of trouble. But if you learn from experience, you can send the trouble back on them. Choosing a wife. A woman cannot choose the man she will marry, but a man can choose his wife, and some women make better wives than others. Beauty is important to men, and most men would be happy to marry a beautiful woman. But a man is really lucky if his wife speaks with humility and kindness. The most important thing a man can have is a wife who helps him and is a suitable partner. Without a fence around a home, robbers can steal whatever they want. And without a wife, a man wanders aimlessly, homeless, spending the night wherever he can, trusted no more than a thief who is always on the run. Deceitful Friends, Chapter 37. Someone who claims to be your friend may not be telling the truth. The sorrow when a close friend becomes an enemy is almost like mourning for a friend who has died. Why do people's thoughts lead them to do wrong and spread deceit everywhere? Some friends are happy for you when everything is fine, but when you have trouble, they turn against you. Another friend seems to help only for a free meal, but when you both go off to war, he gives you protection. Never forget your friends, and if you are successful, share your wealth with them. When people claim to offer advice that is good for you, it may really be good for them. Before you do what they say, see if they are looking out for themselves and putting you at risk with their advice, while they can safely watch what happens to you. If someone is jealous or suspicious of you, don't ask them for advice or tell them your plans. If a man has two wives, don't ask one about the other. Take care who you ask for advice. A coward can't tell you how to fight in battle, and a store owner won't tell how much something is really worth. Can someone with a grudge show you how to be grateful, or someone mean tell you how to be kind? Don't bother asking a lazy person if work needs to be done. And don't ask someone who gets paid by the hour how long a job should take. If you need advice, ask someone who obeys God's commands and thinks like you. Someone who will be sad if you fail. And trust your own judgment. You care more about yourself than anyone else does. Thinking for yourself will often tell you more than if you had 7 lookouts in a high tower. But the most important thing is to pray that God Most High will show you what to do. Before you begin a project, talk with others and get their advice. Everything starts as an idea, whether it helps or harms or brings life or death. And how people talk determines what they do. Some people can give excellent advice to others but show no wisdom in their own lives. And some who can speak well will be hated and starve because they speak without wisdom from the Lord and they offend others. If you see that certain people make wise choices themselves, you can depend on the advice they give to you. The wise teach their wisdom to God's people so their wisdom will live on. The wise are admired and praised by everyone they meet. Life is short for each of us, but Israel will last forever, honoring the memory of those who shared their wisdom. Eating. Take notice, students, what foods make you feel sick and stay away from them. After all, no one likes every kind of food. Control any desire to overeat or to have lots of fancy food at every meal. You will get sick if you eat too much. Be careful. Many have died young from overeating. Medicine. Chapter 38. The Lord chose some people to be doctors, so honor them for helping others get well. God Most High gave them the ability to heal, and they are rewarded by the king. Their skills make them important, and they are admired by powerful people. Medicines are part of the Lord's creation, and if you are sensible, you will use them. One time, even a piece of wood made water fit to drink, and this showed God's power. He gives knowledge to humans so that we will praise him for his amazing creations. Doctors relieve pain and bring healing by mixing medicines from things that God created. God will always be at work bringing health to everyone on earth. Students, if you get sick, quickly pray to the Lord and you will be healed. Give up all your sins and decide to do right. Offer a sacrifice of fine flour and as much olive oil as you can afford, and the smell of the smoke will be pleasing to God. But God also created doctors, and you need their help, so don't reject them. Someday your life will be in their hands, and they will ask the Lord how to make you well and relieve your pain. Those who sin against God, their Creator, will also reject doctors. Mourning. When someone dies, you should mourn and weep as though you were in pain. Prepare the body to be buried and attend the funeral. Weep bitterly to show respect for the dead. If you don't grieve at all, you will be criticized, but don't mourn for longer than a day or two. If you don't stop grieving, you will grow weak and die. After a funeral, sorrow remains, but don't let it drag you down into poverty. Put away your grief and enjoy what is left of your own life. You cannot bring back those who have died. Grieving won't help them, and it can harm you. Just remember that in the past, death caught up with them, and in the future, it will catch up with you. The dead are at rest, so be strong and stop thinking about them all the time. Teachers of Wisdom. If teachers are to become wise, they need lots of time to study and freedom from other work. Who has time to study wisdom? Not farmers. All day long they guide oxen to plow in straight lines. Then they work at night feeding their livestock. Farmers talk about cattle, not wisdom. Who has time to study wisdom? Not artists who carve designs on rings and other jewelry. These artists work with care night and day, making sure each design is different and leaves a perfect pattern when pressed in soft wax. Who has time to study wisdom? Not the blacksmith. soaked in sweat from the heat of the furnace, going deaf from the noise as he hammers the red-hot iron, shaping it on his anvil. He wants to finish this piece and will work late to see all its decorations completed. Who has time to study wisdom? A potter doesn't. His feet must always move to spin the pottery wheel. He keeps his mind on his work, so many pieces to make and so much to do. He works the clay with his feet to make it soft, then shapes it with his hands before baking it. And then at night he cleans out the furnace. All these are skilled people who work with their hands. Without them in a town, no one would live there or even visit. But they are not asked to serve on public committees, and they don't become leaders in the town council. They are not judges and cannot explain the decisions of the court. They cannot even tell stories that teach lessons. But they do pray about their work, and they keep life going for everyone else. Chapter 39. Teachers who study the law of God Most High are different. In their search for wisdom, they study the old writings, especially those of the prophets. These teachers learn the sayings of famous people and understand the meaning of stories, even those parts that are difficult. And they look for the meaning hidden in a proverb. They give advice to leaders, and they travel in other countries to see the good and the bad done there. These teachers get up early to pray to the Lord Most High, their Creator. They tell him what they need and ask that their sins be forgiven. The great Lord may choose to give special understanding to a teacher's mind. Such teachers will pray and thank the Lord for the wise advice that they now can give. They will study those things the Lord has kept secret. He will help them learn and tell them what to say, and they will teach what they have learned. They will be proud of the Lord's law and agreement with Israel. Their understanding will be praised by many, and their names remembered for all time. Israel will honor them, and other nations will admire their wisdom. If they live to old age, they will be famous, and if not, they will be content to be at rest. A Song of Praise. I have hardly begun to tell you all the things I want to say. You, my students, are faithful to God. So listen, and you will blossom like rose bushes planted beside a stream. You will grow faster than lilies, and your songs praising the Lord for what he has done will be a pleasant smell spreading like incense. So play your harps and sing praises to the Lord. Give honor to him with this song. Everything the Lord does is very good, and his commands will be obeyed at the right moment. For now, we must not question what God has done, but he has set a time to explain everything. He created places for all the water, and when he commanded the sea, it piled up like a wall. When he gives an order, it is obeyed, and no one can stop him when he decides to rescue. We can't hide from God. He has watched everything that each human has done. He sees the past and the future. There is nothing he cannot do. So don't question what God has done. He had a purpose in mind for each thing he created. God will bless us greatly, like a river that overflows and soaks the dry ground. But the Gentiles will feel his anger as he makes their fresh water too salty to drink. God lets his people walk on a straight pathway, but those who reject his laws will find that their path is lined with hidden traps. From the very beginning, God prepared good things for good people, and horrible things for sinners. What do we need for daily life? Iron tools, water and fire, flour, milk and honey, wine, olive oil and salt, and of course clothing. All of these are good for God's loyal people, but become evil in the hands of sinners. The Lord created furious winds to take revenge for him, and on the day of judgment they will punish his enemies. Then his anger will be calmed. God also created other things to take revenge for him, fire and hail, along with famine and deadly diseases, wild animals and scorpions, and poisonous snakes, not to mention war. They are ready to serve him, and at his command they gladly and quickly obey. I have believed all these things since my childhood, but I thought deeply about them before I wrote them down in that song. The Lord made only good things, and at the right time he will give us what we need. Everything he created has its own purpose, and so you cannot say, this is better than that. Sing praises to the Lord with all your heart, and give him thanks. Human Misery and Evil, Chapter 40. God plans for us humans to work hard from the day of our birth until we are buried in the soil from which we were made. We don't understand life, so we worry and dread the day that it will end. And each of us is bothered by troubling feelings, from the king, seated on his glorious throne and wearing his crown and royal robes, to the homeless in the street, sitting in dirt and grime and wearing worn-out clothes. We are angry, jealous, or hateful. Or maybe we feel guilty or are afraid of death. Sometimes we are confused by a dream, or lie awake worrying about our work and so we get little rest. We see ourselves running for our lives and almost reaching safety, then we wake up, amazed. It was all a dream. The troubles that sinners have will be 7 times worse than those of other people. Any living creature can suffer a violent death when there is war or fighting, or they can die from disaster, horrible disease, or famine. But God created these troubles to punish those who do wrong, as when he sent the flood. Animals and humans were created from the soil and will return to it, just as water returns to the sea. What you gain by being honest will last forever, but wealth you get by bribery and cheating will disappear. It will dry up like a stream in the summer heat, or quickly fade like thunder from a passing storm. And while generous people can celebrate success, those who disobey God will be failures. Their children will be like trees growing out of a rocky cliff and having rotten roots and few branches. They are like the tall grass that grows beside a stream. When the stream runs dry, the grass quickly withers. But those who show kindness, especially to the poor, are gardens that always bloom with blessing after blessing. What is good for people? It is good to have a job and earn your own money, but it is even better to discover hidden treasure. Having wisdom is better than giving your name to your children or to a city that you have built. Cattle and fruit trees can bring you wealth, but a happy marriage is better than riches. Wine and music bring happiness, but if you love wisdom, you will be even happier. A pleasant voice is sweeter than the music of flutes and harps, Our eyes like beauty and graceful movement. But most of all, we want to see our fields becoming green with sprouting wheat. Having friends and neighbors is important, but being married is even better. Relatives and friends can help when you are in trouble, but the best help comes from giving to the poor. Gold and silver may give security, but they don't compare with good advice. Many trust wealth and power, but if you obey the Lord, He will give you whatever you need if you will just ask. If you obey the Lord, He will protect you and make your life a garden where blessings grow. Don't be a beggar. You would be better off dead than to be a beggar. If you have to beg for food, your life isn't your own, and you won't have any respect for yourself. If you are smart and have learned anything, you won't beg. No matter what beggars say, they really are ashamed of what they do. Thoughts about dying. Chapter 41. Death is a bitter thought for those who are prosperous and without a worry. They have everything and are healthy enough to enjoy good food. But others would rather die because they are poor and sick, old and worn out. They are grumpy and impatient, always finding something to worry about. When it's your time to die, don't be afraid. You are merely following those who have gone on before. And everyone else will soon follow you. Because the Lord has commanded that life ends with death, and we all must obey. No one in the world of the dead will ask how long you lived, whether it was 10, 100, or 1,000 years. The children of sinners are disgusting because they are raised in godless homes. They will lose everything they inherited, and their own children will live in disgrace. If parents reject God, their children are disgraced and blame them. The godless are in for trouble because they refuse to obey the law of God Most High. They will groan as disaster strikes their children. And at the death of the godless, God's people will celebrate and will curse them. All living creatures will return to the soil from which they were made. But sinners are under a curse and will be destroyed. When someone dies, we usually mourn. But everyone tries to forget those who were evil. So be careful. Your reputation won't die with you. It will outlast the gold in 1,000 treasure chests. Every one of us must die, but our reputations won't. When to be ashamed. Students, you have learned well. So don't worry. Just do what you have been taught. Your wisdom is a treasure. Bring it out and use it. Don't bury it. Fools who hide their stupidity will be better off than you if you hide your wisdom. Certain deeds are shameful, although not everyone agrees what these are. So listen carefully, and I will tell you. You should be ashamed if you are immoral and your parents find out. If a leader discovers that you have lied. If you commit a crime and everyone in town comes to watch your trial. If you cheat your friends or steal from neighbors. If you break promises that you made in God's name. If you have bad manners when eating dinner or when giving a gift or receiving one. If you don't reply when someone greets you. If you men look at a prostitute, or if you desire the wife of another man, or if you try to have sex with one of his slave girls, if you refuse to help a relative, or if you take what was given to someone else, if you insult your friends, even though you have given a gift to them, if you repeat rumors or tell someone's secret. Chapter 42. If someone catches you doing any of these things, show how ashamed you are, then others will forgive you. When not to be ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed to do what is right, even if others don't approve. For example, don't be ashamed if you obey the law of God Most High. Or if a godless person is on trial and you vote innocent because you believe it's true. If you pay your fair share of the expenses for business or travel. If you divide up an inheritance among all those who deserve a share. If you have accurate scales for weighing what you buy and sell. If you buy much or little, or if you make a profit on what you sell. If you punish your children when they need it. If your slaves do wrong and you whip them until they bleed. Some good advice. Husbands, if your wife cannot be trusted, or if a lot of visitors will be in your home, lock up everything of value. If you leave valuable items with someone for safekeeping, be sure to get a receipt, and keep records of everything you give or receive. Do not be embarrassed to correct stupid fools or even an older person who is being immoral. If you follow my advice, others will honor you for the lessons of wisdom you have learned. Advice to fathers about daughters. I know that secretly you fathers worry about your daughters and lose sleep while questions trouble your minds. Will she find a husband? Will he love her and will she be faithful to him? Will she get pregnant before she gets married and leaves your home? Or will she be able to have children? If your daughter always wants her own way, watch her closely or she may embarrass you. Your enemies will laugh, and everyone in town will talk about it. Don't let her bedroom window look down on the front door, and a room without a window is even better. Don't let men see her beauty, and keep her away from married women, because evil comes from women as fast as moths that fly from wool clothing. Women are the cause of so much disgrace that the wrong things men do are better than the good done by women. The Lord's Creation. Now let me tell you what the Lord has done. This is what I have seen. When he gives a command, things begin to happen, and his creatures obey. When the sun starts shining, God's glory can be seen in all the earth. Even his angels cannot explain everything he has done, because he wants all creation to show how great he is. God knows everything, from the unseen world of the ocean floor, to the secret thoughts deep in our hearts, to those things that change from one age to the next. God explains the past to us and tells what lies ahead. He even shows us clues to the mysteries of creation. Every thought and word are known to him. The laws of nature show his great wisdom. God has never changed and never will. He has no need of advice. Look at his creation. It sparkles with beauty, and year after year, each part fulfills its purpose. Every part has an opposite, and together they make creation complete, each one contributing something good to the other. Who could ever see enough of such majestic beauty? Chapter 43. Nothing can compare with the glorious sight of the clear blue sky. And you can almost hear the rising sun say, "I am a wonderful creation of the Most High God." By noon, its fiery heat has dried out the soil. It forces people into the shade and scorches mountain slopes. The sun's blinding light is three times hotter than any fire we can build. Our great Lord created the sun, and when he commands, it hurries to obey. The moon also has its turn in the sky, serving as a sign of the changing months and setting the times for sacred festivals. When its light has become dark, a new month begins. The word month even comes from moon. Then we watch in amazement as the moon gradually grows until it is full, giving light to God's armies in the heavens above. Heaven, the Lord's home, is decorated at night with beautiful twinkling stars. They never rest, but stand guard where he has placed them. Look at the rainbow, bright and beautiful, and praise its creator, who bent it with his hands and placed it around the sky. At the Lord's command, snow begins to fall, and lightning quickly obeys. And like birds, the clouds fly from his storehouse. He gives them his great power, and he crushes hailstones. His voice thunders at the earth, and at the sight of him, mountains tremble. The whirlwind obeys him, as do winds from the south and storms from the north. God sends the snow, and it settles on the ground like a flock of birds or a swarm of locusts. We watch amazed as it floats down white and lovely. He sprinkles frost as though it were salt, and icicles form. A freezing north wind makes the surface of every pond hard as armor. God sends the fiery heat, and deserted mountain pastures are scorched and withered. But soon the early morning mist and the refreshing dew will heal the damage. The Lord calmed the oceans and placed the islands, all according to his plan. And when sailors tell stories of danger at sea, we are amazed. The oceans are home to strange creatures and huge monsters. God tells each of these things what to do, and because of his power, they never fail. All creation is held together by his command. We could never finish telling what God has done, so we should say the Lord can be seen in all his creation. But he is far greater than what he created, so where can we look for strength to praise him? The Lord is fearsome and powerful, so always praise him with all your strength. Don't let yourself grow tired. He deserves more praise than you can give. Since no one has seen the Lord and described him to us, we really don't know how to praise him. We have seen so little of God's creation, and we do not understand so many things. Still, the Lord created it all, and he has given wisdom to those who worship him. A Song Praising Israel's Ancestors. Chapter 44. Sing the praises of our ancestors, those famous men who lived long ago. The Lord gave them honor and showed them his power from the very first. Some of them were kings or were famous for their courage. Some gave wise advice or spoke messages from God. There were leaders who made good decisions, who learned the wisdom passed down by our people, and who taught it to others. Some of our ancestors wrote poetry or music. Others were rich and powerful, but lived in peace. All these men were highly honored in their own time. Their reputations live on, and even today they still are praised. Others of our people are best forgotten, as if they and their descendants had never been born. But the ancestors we praise were faithful to God, and so we will remember their good deeds. Their good name has been handed down generation by generation to those who follow them in being faithful to their agreement with God. Their families will live on, and each new generation will honor these ancestors, even though their bodies were long ago laid to rest. Israel praises them, and other nations still tell about their wisdom. Enoch. Enoch turned to the Lord and became an example for all time, and the Lord was so pleased that he took Enoch to heaven. Noah. Noah was perfectly loyal to God. And so when God in his anger sent the flood to sweep humans from the earth, he spared Noah's life. And God made an agreement with him. Never again will such a flood destroy all living creatures. Abraham. No one is more famous than Abraham, the great ancestor of many nations. He obeyed the law of God Most High and made an agreement with God that left a mark on his body. And when tested by the Lord, Abraham remained faithful. And so the Lord promised that Abraham's descendants would be more numerous than the stars in the sky or specks of dust on earth. All nations would be blessed by his descendants, and they would be given land from sea to sea and from the Euphrates River to the end of the earth. Isaac. God later made the same promise to Isaac, the son of Abraham. Jacob. God's agreement and promise then came to Jacob. All people would be blessed by his descendants, and God would bless him and give him land to be divided among the 12 tribes. Moses. One of Jacob's descendants was faithful to the Lord and pleasing to everyone. He was well loved by Israel and God. Chapter 45. The man was Moses, and we still give thanks whenever we think of him. The Lord gave Moses glory equal to the angels and power that terrified his enemies. When Moses spoke, miracles happened, and even the king of Egypt was forced to honor him. The Lord chose Moses to see his glory and to receive the law because Moses was faithful and humble. He heard the Lord's voice and saw him face to face when the Lord told him to teach Israel the commands that give knowledge and life. Aaron, the priest. Aaron, the brother of Moses, was a holy man from the tribe of Levi, and the Lord chose him and his descendants to be Israel's priests for all time. The Lord told him to wear glorious clothing with beautiful decorations and jewelry. Three things truly showed Aaron's priestly power: the linen shorts, the robe, and the sacred vest. Pomegranates were embroidered along the hem of the robe, and gold bells were sewn there, so others could hear the ringing as he walked in the temple. The vest was embroidered with blue and purple yarn and decorated with gold. The breastpiece was decorated with red yarn, and it held the sacred items used in getting answers from God. On it were precious stones set in finely worked gold, and engraved with the names of Israel's 12 tribes. On Aaron's turban was a beautiful strip of gold made by an expert and engraved with the words, "Dedicated to the Lord." All these things were made for Aaron the priest, and since his time, only his descendants have ever worn them. Twice each day, these priests offer sacrifices to please the Lord. Moses ordained Aaron as priest by pouring sacred olive oil on his head. And the Lord promised Aaron that his descendants would serve as his priests forever and bless the people of Israel in his name. The Lord chose only him to burn sacrifices and incense with a pleasing smell, reminding the Lord of his people and asking him to forgive their sins. Aaron was made a judge and was given the law with instructions to teach it to Israel. When Israel was in the desert, some men who were not priests became jealous of Aaron, and they rebelled, led by Dathan, Abiram, and Korah. But the Lord wasn't pleased, and to show he was furious, he sent down fire to destroy them. The Lord honored Aaron even more by giving to him the offerings of the first part of the harvest. And so these offerings are the priest's inheritance, along with other sacrifices the Lord gave to them. Their inheritance is the Lord, not a piece of ground among the rest of Israel. Phinehas the priest. Phinehas, son of Eleazar, is almost as famous as Moses and Aaron. Phinehas was brave and eager to obey the Lord when the other Israelites were unfaithful. And so, because of what he did, God spared Israel and promised to Phinehas and his descendants the honor of forever being leaders of the nation and priests in the temple. According to this promise made by the Lord, only a descendant of Aaron can be a priest, just as Israel's king must be from the